It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. President Trump's former personal attorney Michael Cohen testified today in front of the House Oversight Committee. Cohen, who's getting ready to serve a 3-year prison sentence after pleading guilty for crimes of tax evasion and lying to Congress, characterized the president as dishonest and as a candidate very aware of the inner workings of his campaign.
Lying for Mr. Trump was normalized, and no one around him questioned it. In fairness, no one around him today questions it either. A lot of people have asked me about whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of the hacked documents, the Democratic National Committee emails, ahead of time. And the answer is yes.
Cohen's testimony focused on those hacked Democratic documents, as well as payments Trump made during the campaign to contain the stories of two alleged affairs. He testified privately to a Senate committee yesterday. He's also scheduled for a private session with the House Intelligence Committee tomorrow. Chris Edelson joins us now, assistant professor of government at American University's School of Public Affairs. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, so much to cover for what happened today. Let's start with that statement we just heard saying the president was aware of those leaked documents. This is one of the cases where, as I read it, Michael Cohen didn't have the receipts. He didn't have documents to back that up. What do you make of his claim there?
Well, Michael Cohen clearly has an agenda here. We shouldn't take what he says at face value, as you're saying, unless it's backed up. If this is backed up, and a lot of what he said obviously was, he had a check that he showed, was an exhibit attached to his testimony. If these things are backed up, including that point about WikiLeaks, this is a reminder that this is a man who's not fit to be president, and this is a very serious situation. It's really a sad time for the country.
Now, taking a step back before we dig into some of the more specific issues, we saw a lot of the commentary has been about this. Democrats getting details from Michael Cohen, Republicans generally not challenging those details, but rather challenging Michael Cohen's credibility, which isn't a tall order. Michael Cohen has had a real 180, formerly President Trump's personal attorney. He was with the Republican National Committee and their finance department. And now he's really coming at this from a different angle. This is a kind of an easy target if you want to attack someone's credibility.
Sort of. But their approach didn't make a lot of sense. So Michael Cohen lies. He's going to prison in part for lying. But the things he was talking about today are corroborated. And the deal he's made with the Mueller team is based on their determining that what he's saying can be backed up. So what was striking about the Republicans' approach, for the most part, apart from Congressman Amash from Michigan, was that they attacked Cohen himself rather than defending Trump. The real issue here isn't Michael Cohen. He's going to prison, and he should be. The real issue is the president and a real national crisis, and the Republicans don't have an answer on that one, and they need to figure out what they're doing given this really shocking evidence.
And one tantalizing bit of the testimony today, the suggestion that the Southern District of New York, the prosecutors there,
right,
pursuing President Trump for other issues. We don't know what Michael Cohen, because he's cooperating with them, apparently said he couldn't talk about that. Do we have any idea what they might be chasing?
I have no idea, but what he did testify about was criminal activity by the president, that the president was involved in a violation of campaign finance law, which Michael Cohen's going to prison for. That was the check he signed. He knew about this scheme to pay off mistresses before the election. And Michael Cohen testified about other criminal activity as well, some of it specific and some of it not, as he said, with this Southern District investigation. But this is really shocking stuff. Some of it we knew about before, but it's a reminder that we've got a real crisis here. And we do have procedures to deal with this. This, as I mentioned before, this is a man who's just, he's not suited to be president. Michael Cohen testified that Donald Trump didn't expect to be president, that he was running, in Michael Cohen's words, he was apparently quoting the candidate at the time, the biggest infomercial in history. He was doing this to enhance his brand and didn't expect to win. Okay, well, things go wrong and somebody can win election who's not suited for the office and is involved in criminal activity and is really putting national security at risk. We have procedures to deal with that, impeachment and removal from office, and it's past time to be thinking about that. Of course, that will depend on Republicans, and unfortunately, they don't seem ready to face up to this yet.
Other potential crimes alluded to by Michael Cohen, referred to by Michael Cohen, misrepresenting the value of assets to insurance companies, to banks,
right,
to tax officials, at least giving different numbers to two parties. Maybe one was right and one was wrong. Is that something that, for a non-sitting president of the United States, something that might end up somebody would be charged with?
I would think so. I mean, I think if he were not president, I think it's pretty clear that he would have been charged by now. He still may be. We don't know for sure whether a president can be indicted. It's not. There is a Department of Justice policy against that, but the Constitution itself does not say. So all of these are important questions. I'll tell you, one of the things that really struck me as kind of a big picture takeaway was Michael Cohen talked about how the president had made clear to him without using, not in so many words, but through a code, Michael Cohen said, the president told him that he shouldn't tell the truth about his dealings, the president's dealings with Russia on the Trump Tower in Moscow. Prosecutors who have experience with organized crime said that they were familiar with that kind of thing from their cases in prosecuting mobsters, people involved in organized criminal activity. That's really stunning. I mean, again, we've heard this before, but it's a reminder that this is a really bizarre and difficult situation that needs to be addressed.
Michael Cohen also said that in his previous testimony to Congress, where he lied to Congress and then was charged and pled guilty to that, he said his statement was reviewed by some White House lawyers and changed to make it less true.
You're doing a great job of hitting all the big pieces here. That was a really stunning piece. We know that Michael Cohen lied about the Trump Tower Moscow deal. We know that other people were involved in it. We know the president knew about it. Now we know that apparently there were lawyers, the president's lawyers, who were helping Michael Cohen prepare testimony that was not true. Did the president know that or not? That would be interesting to find out. Again, as I mentioned before, the president had made clear to Michael Cohen in his code that Michael Cohen referred to that he shouldn't tell the truth about this. So that's a big deal. And that's potential legal trouble for additional people.
Talking to Chris Edelson from American University, assistant professor of government there, about today's testimony before the House Oversight Committee from Michael Cohen, longtime personal lawyer for Donald Trump, now President Trump. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions to what you heard, saw, or read about today and your questions for our guest. We'll go to our callers now. Mike is with us in Green Bay. Mike, hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me. First of all, I believe this guy. I don't know why he's got nothing to gain from it. He backed the president when he worked for him, but now that's over. So I have no reason to not believe him. Second of all, I don't think anyone is surprised by the character of our president. What sickens me as an American and embarrasses me as an American is to sit and listen to these congressmen go back and forth across the aisle, knowing that our president is sketchy, and none of the Republicans will call him out. They continue just to argue and disagree with one another on each side of the aisle, and it's just typical of our government. Everyone cares about their political party, and that's number one, and we get nothing done in our government, and I'm tired of it, and I'm embarrassed to be an American.
Mike, thanks for the call. Chris, Mike, seeing Republicans closing ranks around the president and seeing that as a partisan, just a part of our partisan system, what do you think?
He's right. I mean, I appreciate what he said. He's on the money. One thing I've been thinking about recently is what we're seeing calls into question to me whether our system is working, the constitutional system. James Madison envisioned a constitutional system where people would act in the national interest, not based on party. The way the separation of powers would work, according to Madison, was if one branch of government went too far, like a president who overreached, members of Congress would rein him in because they were concerned about their institution, about Congress. Now, as Mike pointed out, partisan concerns make that system problematic. They result in dysfunction. So I think he's right. I think we need to think about the system as a whole. It's not to say that there's no one who's doing this. Congressman Amash, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, from Michigan, a Republican, was clearly concerned about this, and some Republicans are, and some Democrats are too, of course. Hopefully there will be enough to make a difference. But what he said was right. This was really, really difficult to watch.
Thanks for the call, Mike. We'll go now to Will with us in Eau Claire. Will, hello.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think?
I remember well the impeachment process from Richard Nixon back in the 70s, and that prompted my call. You know, one of the great virtues of this country is the rule of law, and it's prudent and essential, critical, to pursue evidence. And wherever the truth takes us in this whole process, that is to be determined, and we need, regardless of political party, to act on that. You know, I remember when Nixon's evidence was finally analyzed, and people who were skeptical finally stepped up and said, all right, you know, this is a high crime misdemeanor.
Will, thanks for the call. I'm going to jump in. Chris, Will bringing up the Watergate comparison, and it was slow, as I understand it, but there was a tipping point where it became less of a partisan issue ultimately.
That's right. And that's another great point. And the rule of law is something that's very much on my mind, as the caller was saying. So I had a student in class just asked about this the other day, and she said, you know, why are things so slow now as compared to what happened in Watergate? Of course, it seems that way to us now, but if you read at the time, observers who were following it, it was people didn't know what was going to happen then either. For a long time, Nixon was making it through. And as you said, it reached a tipping point. And the tipping point was when Republicans ultimately decided they could not support the president. And I think that's the same issue here. We don't know if it will come, though. I mean, at a certain point, perhaps Republicans will make that decision. If they don't, I'm not really sure how this resolves itself. I guess the short answer would be in the next election, but that's a long time to wait.
Thanks a lot for the call, Will. We're talking about Michael Cohen's congressional testimony today. We have Chris Edelson with us, assistant professor of government at American University School of Public Affairs. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about what you saw, heard, or read about this? What questions do you have? What do you want to know that we don't know right now? 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. More coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about Michael Cohen's testimony today before the House Oversight Committee. Chris Edelson with us from American University. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. And if you want to weigh in later, join us tonight at 8 for a live call-in special hosted by 1A's Joshua Johnson. It's called Cohen and the Court of Public Opinion, tonight at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Back to your calls now. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hello.
Hi, Chris. I didn't catch whether or not any of the representatives asked Michael Cohen about the goon that met Stormy Daniels in the parking lot and basically told her that it'd be a shame if her daughter grew up without a mother, and whether or not he had any involvement in hiring such an individual. And I also didn't catch anything about Tiffany Trump. Much about Eric or Kirshner. Did you have any input on that?
Mike, thanks for the call. So, Stormy Daniels, her stage name, had claimed that she had been threatened. Michael Cohen did reference that President Trump had people who might threaten people. I don't know if there's anything beyond that.
That's a great question. I don't remember anything specifically about that incident in the parking lot, but Michael Cohen was asked about threats of physical violence, and his response was, that it was sort of weird. He said Donald Trump had people who could do that kind of thing, but he was kind of vague about it. And then he was asked at another point, how often did Donald Trump ask you to threaten people? I don't think he meant necessarily threaten with physical harm, but he said 500 and more than 500 times. So there was a sort of atmosphere. And again, as I mentioned before, prosecutors who were commenting this during the day kept saying it reminded them of their experience in prosecuting organized crime. That's the kind of, atmosphere that Michael Cohen is describing. And it's really, I think that's rather sobering.
Thanks for the call, Mike. And then Donald Trump Jr. did come up in the course of talking about, I believe, it was the approval of payments to Cohen, reimbursements for the so-called hush money payoffs. I don't remember anything about Jared Kushner, though. I will say I did miss some
Mike
moments.
Mike asked about the rest of the family. Right. The point I heard, as you pointed out, was Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr., Cohen said, signed one of the checks, which means he apparently, one would infer, knew what was going on with the payoffs to the mistresses, so could be in legal trouble there. Another point, though, is that I believe Michael Cohen also testified today about Donald Trump Jr.'s knowledge of the Trump Tower in Moscow deal. And I know Donald Trump Jr. testified earlier about that to Congress that he was not very involved. So that could create problems for Donald Trump Jr. in terms of his testimony.
Mike, thanks for the call. We're going out to Willem in Colfax. Willem, hello.
Hi. I listened to the hearings today, and I just found it astonishing that the Republicans would get on their high horse about Mr. Cohen. They would continually attack him for being a liar when the president of the United States is, he started his whole thing about a lie about the size of his inauguration. He lies every day. He tweets obnoxious, cruel things about all kinds of people. He's, today he called Kim Jong-un a great leader, a man who's imprisoned hundreds of thousands, killed his uncle, murdered his brother. It's just astonishing to me that they, no matter what, that they'll defend him. And my opinion about Donald Trump isn't formed by the liberal media. It's formed by simply observing the man and what he says. He started his campaign with a racist rant about Mexicans being rapists and murderers, and then the whole birther thing, and then walking in on young women in their dressing room because he owned the pageant, or grabbing women by their private parts. I mean, how do they defend this man? Like,
I'm going to jump in, Willem. I want to get some more calls in, too. But, Chris, your thoughts.
I'm impressed by the callers who have, I mean, this sounds crazy, but what the caller is saying is correct. This is all true. And Michael Cohen sort of noted that during his testimony. At one point, one of the Republican members of Congress said, like, I forget the exact words, something like, you're a pathological liar. And Michael Cohen said, are you talking about me or are you talking about the president? And of course, that's the backdrop here. One of the strange things about the whole procedure today was the Republican members of Congress kept trying to point out Michael Cohen's flaws, and of course he has many. He's a convicted felon. But the problem is he was Donald Trump's lawyer for a decade. When they keep showing how bad Michael Cohen is, that doesn't really help the president. It reinforces this point that the president was working with people who were rather shady characters.
Thanks for the call, Willem. Ann joins us now in Milwaukee. Ann, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm concerned about the way the media is reporting some of the sensationalist things that Michael Cohen has said, and in particular when he was relating something that Roger Stone said. I mean, this is hearsay, of course. That's easily disproven about WikiLeaks. Julian Assange announced that they had emails back on June 12th, and Matt Taibbi's been tweeting about this all day, that he is also disgusted with his fellow journalists, that it's easily, it was already out there, so there's no need for Roger Stone or anybody to be telling Trump in July, and I don't like Trump, about WikiLeaks emails.
And thanks for the call. I believe it was the impending release of those emails that was the subject there, not the existence or that WikiLeaks had them, if I have that right.
Right. So what Michael Cohen was saying today was that, and it is, of course, as I mentioned at the beginning, Michael Cohen has an agenda, and he's a convicted felon, and one of the things he was convicted for was lying. So it's good to take what he's saying, you know, with a grain of salt and not at face value. But a lot of what he's saying was corroborated during his testimony by documents, and the Mueller investigation is confident in what he said. What he was saying today about Roger Stone is that the candidate Donald Trump, was talking to Roger Stone, and Roger Stone told him that information would be coming from WikiLeaks. Now, Roger Stone himself is not a credible source, too. It's certainly possible that Roger Stone was bragging and saying more than he knew, but that's an important point. What's important about that, of course, is that would indicate, if that's correct, and I think they specifically, not just WikiLeaks, Michael Cohen said this was coming from Julian Assange. If that's correct, and it's important, obviously, to find out if it's correct, that would mean the president knew what was going on about information that was being used by the Russians, you know, to discredit and attack Hillary Clinton's campaign. So I think we need to know more about that, certainly. But it's a rather important point that deserves further either investigation or corroboration.
And thanks a lot for that call. In our last few moments, Chris, what are you watching for next?
Republicans. As a number of your callers pointed out, it's rather incredible. And it's not a partisan point. This would be a problem for any president. It happens that this is a Republican president. But the important point will be, how do Republicans respond? And will Republicans in Congress at some point take action? The caller who mentioned about Nixon, you were pointing out that was the tipping point there when Republicans took action. We'll see. Is there anything that will move them to act? And if they don't, I'm not really sure what that means. It'll be a strange situation to just sort of continue in this sort of muddling through.
We'll leave it there for now. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And thanks for the great calls.
That was Chris Adelson, Assistant Professor of Government at American University School of Public Affairs, with us to talk about Michael Cohen's testimony today before the House Oversight Committee. You can join in a special call-in from 1A and Joshua Johnson airing tonight at 8 here on the Ideas Network. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll get the latest on the fallout and reaction from that testimony today. The president expected to have a press conference early in the morning our time while he's in Vietnam right now. You can, again, join in with your thoughts. As a new Ted Bundy documentary gets lots of attention, serial killers were a big deal in the United States 30, 40 years ago, but their numbers dropped a lot. We'll look at some of the theories about why that happened. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m., it's the morning show with Kate Archer Kent. Tomorrow at 7:30, join Kate and her guest for a preview of Governor Evers' budget proposal that's scheduled to come out tomorrow evening. Check it out tomorrow at 7:30 on the morning show. Coming up next, it's news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we've talked with a lot of great young people from around Wisconsin doing cool stuff here on Central Time. We're going to share some of our favorite interviews that's coming up. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. You're listening to the Ideas Network.